Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Red hot comic book movie news. Shooting up your butthole.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, an official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows, sometimes video games. Not this week. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, my co-host, my dog, and Nick Mason.
I'm being attacked by a dog. I'm being attacked by a vicious dog.
Yeah.
That I insisted sit with me on the couch.
She's pretty good.
Hey, dog.
Do you like her spirit?
Yeah.
Speaking of spirits.
You're drinking wine.
Yeah, I am drinking wine.
You're drinking wine out of like a...
a regular glass.
A regular glass.
Because as I told you before the show, I'm against wine glasses. They're dumb. Why are they why do you have to drink a certain glass, like a certain drink from a certain glass?
Because you've got to swirl it.
No, you don't. That's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Champagne flutes, dumb.
I mean, you have to
hold it at a wedding.
Smugly.
It's too small for your mouth. It's no good. Do you put your nose in it when you drink?
Just drink everything out of a sack. That's what I say.
Just a Hessian sack.
Yeah.
Hold it over your mouth and just wring it into your mouth.
Yep.
But yeah.
Just drink your wine out of a bloody, like an animal bladder or something. Like
yeah,
that,
sure.
That you fashion into a drinking. Or a fine loot crate drinking horn,
oh,
which is
goodness.
How I do most of my drinking.
You know you do.
Mm.
Sad news to start with.
Oh.
Yeah, earlier in the week.
I hate sad news.
I know.
Wish all news were happy news.
Another massive loss. Anton Yelchin dead at 27.
27, brutal.
Yeah. So what was believed to have happened is he got out to check his mailbox and his car rolled.
Yeah.
And I was on a steep incline and it pinned him against the wall and killed him. They found him in the morning.
Horrible.
So, man, that's...
Yeah, seemed like a wonderful human being.
He really did.
And look, he was, he was Chekhov in the Star Trek reboot.
Yep.
He was in a movie called Charlie Bartlett, where he's like a high school student.
Right.
Who gets like he sort of starts supplying like psychiatric drugs to his fellow students, and then he sort of becomes their psychoanalyst.
Gotcha. I haven't seen that one.
It's got Kat Dennings and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, cool.
It's real good.
Yeah. I really like Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's him and Felicity Jones, who's in the upcoming Star Wars movie. It's a really good and kind of, I don't know, it's a love story, but it's not like, and everything's okay. And it's like, it's how that like, hey, maybe love doesn't triumph over everything, Mason.
Aww.
Despite what you think,
aww,
you naive idiot.
Aww. Well, this has been a sad episode for me.
I
especially.
Know. And you know what? I shouldn't say this, but every time someone dies, I think of like five people I would have rather died.
Ugh.
Top of that list.
Name them.
Shia LaBeouf.
Wow.
Look, I'm not saying I wish he was dead. I would be sad if he died, but I'm just saying if I had to make the choice, if you put a gun in my head.
Uh-huh. Okay. And the other four people are just people you know personally.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're famous.
No.
Yeah.
Look,
that's a shame. I hear it was great in Green Room as well.
Yeah, I've heard that's really good. I want to get around to it.
Me too.
Obviously, I don't wish anybody else dead, but I just, whenever someone dies, I'm never like, okay. Like,
yeah,
it's always
right.
bad news.
Yeah,
even,
yeah.
like, personally. It's never like, oh, I hated him. Good.
Yeah.
It's always someone that you like.
Yeah, it's been a bad year. Yeah.
So, that is what it is. Hopefully, Mason, news of this Star Wars Rogue One. Well, I know you want to say something else.
I was going to say, I hope you've got a sweet segue for this to make us all happy again.
I think Rogue One will make...
Look, it's a dog. It's a dog. I'm being attacked by a dog. But in a funny way. Rogue One.
Is... So yeah, there was an Entertainment Weekly story.
Uh-huh.
A few things were kind of like they released a lot of images and confirmed certain characters, like Mads Mikkelsen is playing what's her name's father. Jyn Erso's father,
uh-huh.
and he's kind of like the Oppenheimer.
Oh.
So, you know, he made the Death Star, but right. then he's like, maybe I shouldn't have made this giant world-destroying laser. I'm having second thoughts. Mm. But the two of the biggest reveals, this one we already knew, it was pretty much confirmed, Darth Vader is in.
Ooh.
Now, he's going to be used sparingly, but in a key strategic moment. So there's like a beach storming kind of scene. Maybe it's that.
And he's like, me, it's me, I'm Darth Vader. And just in the back.
Absolutely. Is there anywhere? Is there anything you want? Is there anything you want to see him do? James Earl Jones back as well, 85.
Yeah.
Because he's in Rebels. People are like, can you believe he's back?
And David Prowse yes. is out, so they're packing James Earl Jones into the suit.
That's Hollywood,
just,
baby.
Oh, get him in there. I would like to see him defeat like a legion of rebel troops yes. by himself.
Yes.
I think that would be good.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, he's, you know, clearly very powerful in the Force in all the movies, but we never see him.
Mm.
It's always he's choking a general.
Through a screen.
Yeah, through a screen, or he's fighting a Jedi one-on-one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to see him.
Or not even a Jedi, like a not very good
yeah,
Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. Like I want to see him.
Or an old man.
Just cut through the rebel ranks. A swath, exactly. Yeah.
You might want to move your mic a little bit closer. I think it's like a fraction too far, according to this headset.
Oh yeah, how about
that
now?
Wearing. That's better.
Yeah, I want to see him like.
It's worse for me.
Yeah. I want to see him operate like a tank.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I've got this image in my mind that I want to see. Oh, sorry, go.
No, I was going to say would that result in any continuity errors? Is there any, in the later films, is there any kind of situation where if he were able to do that, it would ruin
That's the thing. This is, I'm speculating.
Oh, yeah.
And this is probably not true.
He's got insider information.
I do not, ever. But first of all, yeah, well, the thing I want to see him pick up a rebel soldier, like choke him with his, you know, with his mind, and then use him as a human shield.
Sure, right.
Like, just kind of, you know. Like, you know, he's about to get shot and he just pulls a rebel soldier in front of him and he just takes like 8 blaster bolts. But no, I think he's going to be much more dangerous in this, and then he gets injured because he's significantly slower in A New Hope. Like when he's fighting Obi-Wan Kenobi, the stuff you see him do in the comics prior to this, he's much more dangerous than what you kind of see him do.
Oh, interesting.
And there is a guy we see in a Bacta tank. So I'm wondering if he does get swamped.
That's why he's so proused.
Yeah, that's right.
In the 4, 5, and 6. Okay, sure. Yeah. Right, I get it.
But you know, that's
that would make a lot of sense.
It would, but you know, I don't know. Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, the blind Jedi he's not a Jedi. Sorry, there's a blind soldier in it. Apparently, he's got some connection to the Force, so he's a spiritual man. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of used his. He's not a Jedi. Maybe he was. I don't think that he was. But I doubt he'd have a lightsaber. But that's why he's able to kind of take out.
Like most people in the Star Wars universe, he's Force sensitive.
Yes, that's right.
Like
he's got
almost
a destiny.
Everyone. Yeah. Man, woman, droid, plant, Force sensitive.
Planet. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. The other thing is Forrest Whitaker's character is actually from canon.
I've heard that.
He's a character from the Clone Wars, which I haven't seen all the way through. Apparently it gets really good at like season 3, and I'm like, I just
can't make that commitment.
Not doing
it. And if you start at 3, who knows if you'd recognize any of the characters
exactly.
or know what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. But he's playing Saw Gerrera. He's a rebel, but he's like a rebellious rebel, even more so.
Oh, rebel turned renegade.
Yeah, so they don't he's like their Punisher.
So he's too rebellious for the rebellion.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's fought alongside Anakin Skywalker in the Clone Wars. Like he was trained to fight during that war. And now he's like, what's happened here?
Wow.
I don't agree with this. I'm Forrest Whitaker.
Mm.
Great. I'm not surprised they're bringing in...
Turn in your badge, Forrest Whitaker. You know that badge we gave you for being slightly rebellious? That lets you into the rebellion? Hand that back because you're too rebellious. Here's a different badge. It says you're too rebellious. Now wear that so people will know. You're not going to wear it? Okay.
That fits with who you are as a person.
Yeah, good. You passed the final test.
But seriously, wear the badge.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, look, they are going to be obviously drawing from the canon. I was going to say the extended universe, whatever the bloody hell they want to call it now. But I don't think we're going to get any... This is one of those situations where it fits with the canon, but you don't need to know who he is.
Great, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And that's what you're about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bunch of other images. Go check them out.
It's the easy listening of movies. Just show up. This better all make sense.
Absolutely. Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, has also said that Indiana Jones, right now, their focus is on a reboot or a continuum, and then a sort of reboot of sorts after that. So I'm thinking they'll get Harrison Ford. He's going to do one more. Mm. I think what happened is I think they wrote that into his Star Wars contract.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he went, I'll be Han Solo, but I want to do another Indiana Jones film. Because he's always liked
Really?
Hans.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right, okay.
But he's always liked.
He does know insider information.
He's always liked Indiana Jones. And you see him in all his interviews over the years. He's always been very pro Indiana Jones.
But does he necessarily have to hold a gun to anyone's head to become Indiana Jones? Surely he can just walk in and be like, I want to do another one. And people would just drop.
No, but I feel like maybe Disney would have gone, well, let's get somebody younger and kind of. And maybe
okay, yeah.
that was. Or maybe not. I don't know. But I think they're going to recast it. Maybe this one will be like a modern day Indiana Jones. Well, you know, age appropriate Indiana Jones. And then maybe some flashbacks with a younger actor.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Or maybe they'll do one more Harrison Ford and then they'll go get a younger actor. And James Bond it, where they just get a different person.
Emily Blunt, sure.
Yeah, Emily Blunt. Make everybody happy.
Thank you.
Get the female Ghostbusters in.
Yeah.
Did you hear the new Ghostbusters song?
I saw that it was by Fall Out Boy, and
yep.
I decided not to listen to it.
Yeah, look, it's like all movie theme songs. Like it's not good.
But it's not the old Ghostbusters theme.
There are shades of it. But
okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But
sure.
Yeah.
It's like Take a Look Around theme from MI. It's theme from Mission Impossible 2 by Limp Bizkit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll play that.
Yeah,
great.
Which is once again a classic. So track that down if you like.
Spider-Man stuff has been said. The Sony CEO said he was asked who has like the green light authority on Spider-Man, because as we know, he's being shared back with Marvel.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But Sony still own him. He said they've deferred creative control to Marvel, but they have ultimate authority. They did that because they know what they're doing. Marvel know what they're doing. And he said...
And look, we don't.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
We haven't known for years. We just...
Just throw everything at the wall.
We just buy some stuff and see if it makes us more money. Sometimes, look, help. Just help.
Yeah. He's taken a bit of flack for this because they said... he was asked, do you want to trim the costs of that franchise? And he says, I don't want to trim costs. I want to make money. Which I think is fine.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what...
Sure.
I mean, it's not a charity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes you make money by trimming costs and sometimes by investing in things that are profitable. A movie like Spider-Man by Marvel, that's not inexpensive, but it's a great investment knowing that Marvel has a clear creative vision. I sleep very well at night.
Ooh.
There you go. So obviously...
With the fishes, he was murdered.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
That's terrible. 27 as well.
Ooh.
I wish it was Shia LaBeouf. I don't mean that. I only mean it a little bit. Let me just drink my wine.
I was going to say, by the time you finish that wine, I think you will mean it. At the end, you'll be like, and another thing. Here's the other four people I wish were dead. I'm a monster.
So, yeah, that's all good stuff for Spider-Man. Mm. So, yeah, they are. And he was also alluding to, like, we are going to expand out the universe.
Mm.
I'm all about a Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah.
Getting back the original, all the Spider-Men. Not immediately.
Yeah. Huh?
Kind of build to that, obviously. Mm.
I'm all for Paul Giamatti as the Rhino. Bring him back.
Really?
Not in the big metal suit, but in like a...
With his pants pulled down in the middle of the street like he was in that movie.
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
Pretty much.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
You're a sucker for the classics, aren't you?
I think so, yeah.
So, Bryan Cranston is Zordon in Power Rangers. The face in the tube.
Yeah, I know who Zordon is. I know who
you looked so confused,
I know
though.
Who both Bryan Cranston and Zordon are, all right? It's just an odd... Like, given that... There's been so many franchises where people have been like, you know, you should get Bryan Cranston. He'd be amazing as this. He'd be amazing as this
He'd be
character.
A great Jim Gordon,
He'd
whatever.
He'd be a great Lex Luthor. He'd be great as all these. And he's decided to go with Zordon.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Does it have, like, seven zeros behind it?
No, I don't know.
Is it just a real big check?
No, the reason is he used to voice Power Rangers villains in the 90s.
Oh, before he hit it big.
He did. And I...
Wait, is this post Malcolm in the Middle?
No, this is pre-Malcolm
in
the Middle. But I also learned this from Cape Joel. He's a good bloke. I went to do a podcast with... I'll talk about it later.
Okay,
but he told me that Billy Cranston, who's the original Blue Power Ranger, was named after Bryan Cranston.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he's been kicking
as
around.
Well.
So people are like, why would he do this?
Sure.
And I think that's why.
Mm.
I mean, I'm surprised they didn't get someone with a bigger face, like a Chiklis.
Chiklis would have been great, yeah.
Or who's Kingpin?
Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Michael Clark Duncan, yeah.
Yeah. No. Ooh, 27 Club.
Yeah, that's
not
it.
Not true.
No. So, yeah, Bryan Cranston, Zordon. That's
interesting, all right. Well, he'll bring a certain gravitas to it.
Certainly will. Do you think he'll ham it up?
I am the one who morphs, he'll say. That's what he'll say.
Very good.
He doesn't, though, because he's Zordon. He's just a man, he's a head in a tube.
That's right. Ultimately. Mason, it's been a massive week for Justice League as well.
In what sense?
I got a list of shit here. So they
could you say any of it?
I could.
Great.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, good.
Great.
Listen, they opened up the set. There was a set visit.
They did,
certain
yeah.
journos in the world of movies.
Us?
No.
Oh.
A lot of people.
Oh, you said journos.
I said journos.
Yeah. If you'd said certain idiots, I would have.
You would have wondered where was our invite. Yeah. So basically,
certain haters.
That's right. Go over. I went over to London for the Justice League set to see Ooh. What they're up to.
Is that Pinewood Studios?
It probably was, Governor. Where's me bloody Dickens?
Hello, fresh in your Brexits.
Hello to our British
listeners. I feel the only for anybody who doesn't know. Britain voted out of the European Union.
I'm sure
everybody knows. I mean, it's only relevant to us. The question is, does that mean fewer Jason Statham movies set in Europe or more Jason Statham movies set in Europe? And I'm going to say more
right.
because the pound is worth less now, so he has to do more movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a panic going on, and I have my opinions, Mason, but it's probably...
Keep them to yourself, mate.
Breakfast pod.
My breakfast
yeah. pod.
Mm.
Okay, so basically, it was initially going to be two movies, and there will be a Justice League sequel in 2019, but the one that's coming in 2017 of November of that year,
Ooh.
It's just going to be a standalone Justice League movie, which is probably a good idea.
See how it goes,
absolutely. So the plot is also going to revolve around Steppenwolf and Parademon invasion impending.
Yep.
Batman had
1960s rock group Steppenwolf.
That's right.
Magic carpet ride.
Well, Eric on Twitter has said, Steppenwolf, what is Brainiac off the table? Legion of Doom unavailable. In that case, still not excited unless they get the band Steppenwolf.
Oh, yeah.
Then I'm on board. So Steppenwolf is the uncle of Darkseid.
Sure. which doesn't sound threatening.
No.
I mean, in a way, some uncles are very threatening.
I've got some real shit uncles, yeah. Mason.
Sometimes they're like missing a thumb or
yeah,
whatever.
That's right.
And you're like, ugh.
What happened? And they won't tell you.
They won't tell you. Yeah.
Probably just slammed it in a door.
Exactly. Mm. Sometimes they're like, they're trying to be cool with the kids. That's
weird.
No, that's...
Don't do it.
Yeah, I'd rather fight Darkseid if I'm honest with you.
So, and in the process of this, Batman is inspired by Superman's sacrifice. Mm-hmm. When, remember, he flew that spear into that monster.
Yep.
And to honor his memory, he's going to be assembling a team of justice,
if,
as it were, which includes, you know, all the
Justice team.
Justice team together, first time. It's also going to have a lighter tone.
Mm.
And one of the scenes they detailed was where Barry Allen meets Batman.
I've heard about this scene.
It seems really cool.
Now, is this is a film scene. This isn't a script frame.
Yes, so it's been filming for a couple of months maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's not finished, but it's...
We've got this one scene, guys. Worked real hard on it.
But by all accounts, it's very kind of Spider-Man Homecoming, Iron Man kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So Barry Allen's very excited to meet Batman, and Batman throws a batarang, and that's how Barry Allen knows that it's...
Yeah, it does seem a lot like that scene in Civil War.
Sorry, I kicked my mic. But I don't dislike that at all.
No,
now,
neither do I.
It is a lighter tone. I made a video on it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very specific request, which we will talk about
in
a minute. But I said, look, it's a lighter tone, and the lighter tone is a direct response to Batman v Superman.
Sure.
A lot of people are like, that's not true. That was always going to be lighter. But I have a quote here that says, when Batman Superman came out, I was like, wow, okay, oof. That's what Snyder said.
Uh-huh.
It did catch me off guard. I have had to, in my mind, make an adjustment. I do think that the tone of Justice League has changed because of what the fans have said.
Mm.
So there you go. Even though maybe it was still going to be a brighter movie, I think it'd be naive to think that this movie isn't influenced by how Batman Superman was received.
Correct.
Even if you love it, which is fine.
It's fine and it's cool if you love it, but you're wrong. But it's fine if you think that way. Enjoy what you like, but you're definitely wrong, but it's cool.
That's right.
Mm. Should make a t-shirt that says that.
I know, right?
Well, we could make it hypercolor.
Yes, we
right?
could.
It says, if you like it, it's fine and it's cool. And then you heat it up and it's like, but you're wrong. And then you let it, and it's like, but it's cool.
So, yeah, a big part of this whole thing was they do set visits. That's not uncommon. But normally you don't find out what was seen until maybe like a month before the movie comes out. But this is like 17 months out or whatever. Or maybe
what are we getting in between now and then? We're getting Suicide Squad.
We're getting Wonder Woman.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, it's not like we haven't got anything else coming. But I think this is very much, it's damage control, you know? And that's okay.
And not the Marvel TV series Damage Control, which we're waiting for.
That's going to be, or the DC one that they're doing as
Powerless?
Well. Powerless, yeah. There's a couple of them coming. Okay, so they said there's going to be like a, it's described sort of as an Lord of the Rings style opening where you're going to see ancient Atlanteans and Amazonians because this plot is going to revolve around mother boxes.
Yeah.
And we did see both Steppenwolf and mother boxes in that deleted scene.
We did,
Batman,
that's true,
Superman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess they act, for lack of a better example, they're acting as their like Infinity Stones,
yep.
sort of, I guess. Which is fine.
It's fine.
It's all right, man. You got a bloody cosmic item.
Every universe got its own little tropes.
You've
got to have certain tropes in a comic book movie, I think.
That's true.
You need something to strive for.
That's right.
A gem to grab, if you will.
A box to mother.
Yeah.
Raise it like a hatchling. Is that right?
That's how Chew up your food and then vomit it into their mouths.
That's right. So they also talked about the costumes, which there's been some... Maybe some slight changes from the initial concept art.
Because we saw in Batman v Superman, we saw only the Flash's head in that post
weird.
In the post nightmare dream sequence. We saw a second dream.
I really
sequence.
Like that sequence. The more I think about it, the more I liked it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the context is
sure
all over the shop, but yeah.
But he's got like he's got a very wide head.
Right.
And he's got like, it looks like he's got headphones on.
And he's got long, wispy hair.
And he's got a mustache. I don't know if I...
It's the future, man.
Oh, that's a good point.
You weren't thinking about it being the future.
That's true. In the future, you have to grow a mustache.
So maybe this one will be like regular Justice League and the the sequel will be like that future nightmare.
Maybe.
Kind of flashpointy kind of thing. Because that would really...
So maybe J.K. Simmons
movies.
Is going to get even more swole for the second one.
Well, they say that he is like cartoon accurate Gordon.
Great.
Which is super cool. The animated series.
Yeah.
The 90s one. So yeah, the Flash has two costumes. One of them is, Bruce Wayne points out that it's made up of like stolen NASA equipment.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
So it doesn't like burn
heat
up.
Heat shields. Yeah,
okay. Exactly. But then Bruce Wayne gives him a new one. That's very Spider-Man as well, actually.
Very much so.
Cyborg is all CGI.
Okay.
So he's all ping pong ball suit.
From the neck down, though, right?
Neck down. No, from the neck up.
It's just him in sweatpants, like an old t-shirt. Then he's got a super cybernetic head.
Wonder Woman is the same, which makes sense because she's been wearing that costume for like 5,000 years. So obviously there's not going to be much alteration in that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And Batman has like, he's got two suits.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like a regular Batman-y suit, but it's got like armor plating underneath.
Great.
And it's got a bluish tinge,
ooh.
Which is a bit kind of...
Well, that's Batman pre, I guess, 1989 Batman.
Yeah, that's true. But even if you look at like Jim Lee's kind of Hush Batman, that's a bluish kind of Batman. Uh-huh.
Which do you prefer? Do you prefer a black and grey Superman? Do you prefer an all
Batman? Oh, Mason, jeez. You can't afford to make those kind of mistakes.
What I meant do you prefer a black and grey Superman when he came back from the dead? You remember that? He's in the suit with the silver S.
Absolutely.
That's what I was talking about. I know more than you. Ha! No. Do you prefer, Batman, would you prefer a black and grey?
Yeah.
Do you like all black? Do you like blue and grey?
I really love the Jim Lee Batman.
Okay.
I think it's one of the best.
A look. And that was a dark blue and grey. Okay,
yeah, yeah. Right. Do you have a preference?
I like very dark grey, like shell.
Sure.
And then black gloves, black cowl.
Do you care for the purple gloves that sometimes make an appearance, like it is an original comic?
No, I don't like that at all.
Oh, okay, then.
No.
You're going to be disappointed then.
Ugh.
Actually, no, you won't.
Okay,
be very happy. And he's also got an armored suit, which is similar to what he wore in the last one.
Uh-huh.
But he's going to have an arm brace and a leg brace.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, he doesn't look like he's had any injuries in Batman Superman. He seemed okay. So maybe that's an injury he gets earlier on in that movie. Because he loves a brace, doesn't he?
Or maybe...
It's an enhanced thing?
Or no, maybe after the funeral of Superman, he just... gets back to his mansion and all of a sudden he's like, oh, this bloody took it out of me. Oh, I forgot. Oh, my arm and my leg were broken in multiple places. Oh, it's good to just sit down and take in your multiple fractures. Oh,
you know it is.
Oh, bloody spiral fracture this one. It's not coming back for a while. Oh, it's Batman's equivalent of sitting down in front of the TV after a long day at work.
Right.
You're just like, Alfred, I've been shot repeatedly. Could you get the... Oh, it's just good to have a sit down.
Isn't it just? I bloody love.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, yeah, it's post being punched by Doomsday.
You're probably not wrong. Now, it's also there's a few vehicles described. One is called a flying fox transport, which is just like a ship to get a fly around the Justice League members.
Do you think it's
like
a base? Do you think it's being flown by Lucius Fox?
Could be. Don't think so.
Yeah,
probably not.
No.
Now, wouldn't that seems like it's something that's more for Batman to be like everybody into the ship, and they're like. Okay.
I mean, we can both fly, and he can run around the whole Earth in like 2 seconds. But we'll humor you. All right, let's get on the.
And another one is called the Nightcrawler. It's like the Batmobile, but it's got like spider legs, so it can go over like rough terrain. And apparently, when it hits the ground, the legs, it like kind of puts like a dent. You know what I mean?
Okay. Now, is this isn't the new version of the Batmobile?
Because we've seen there is a right? Batmobile, because the last one, Superman, just. Trashed.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. But it's still got guns and missile launchers or whatever. And people are like, why does it have guns? Because apparently this Batman as well, he's much happier and he's more like, I'm inspirational. And
so he's just firing celebratory guns into the air.
Well, I'm assuming that's for parademons.
Yeah, okay.
Because he can gun down parademons. Yeah, that's fine.
None of their mothers are called Martha, are they?
How dare you, Mason? Sorry. That's the best thing in the movie.
Mm.
Superman also... This is really important to me.
Once again, if this turns out to be a continuation of the Tim Burton Batman movies, I'm okay with Batman killing all those people. If just put a line in that's like, I remember the time the Joker fell off the building and he died, or whatever. Or like if Jared Leto Joker's like, you killed my father, now I'm the Joker,
I'm
whatever.
I'm Joker Jr.
Then I'll be fine with it. Because I'm like, well, that's a natural escalation. Like, he's blowing up people in chemical factories and flamethrowing people with his Batmobile jets or whatever.
Right.
If he's just moved, like if you go, okay, well, multiply that by 20 years worth of murderousness, I'm fine with it.
Mm. Well, good. I hope your dream comes true.
But somebody pointed out on Twitter that in Batman and Robin, Batman says, and this is why Superman works alone.
Yeah, so, maybe it doesn't count.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. I think he means the Nietzschean Superman.
Oh, okay.
That's why the Nietzschean Superman works alone.
Yeah, that's probably what they meant.
Yeah. Yeah. In that Joel Schumacher movie, Batman and Robin.
Superman also, Snyder was asked about his hair because famously in the comics.
Yeah, when Superman comes back from the dead.
He's got a black suit with a silver S.
The one that I mentioned earlier on purpose.
That's right.
And when he comes back, because he's been in... sort of
a stasis
little sort of suspended
the
animation.
Matrix.
His hair's grown very long.
Yes.
But because nobody apparently was really briefed on how he was supposed to look post resurrection.
Yeah.
They different artists depicted him slightly differently.
On
to the
cover
point,
he's got short hair as well.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so some artists drew him with long hair all over and some artists drew him with a mullet.
Yeah.
So and that is kind of that's the most accurate representation of comic books in the 90s, I feel. Superman right. with a mullet. So what we're saying is...
Well, Snyder said his hair should be perfect. A little longer, I guess. That's what the myths are anyway. And I tried to get the hashtag started. Hashtag mullet for Superman.
Mm-hmm. How's that going?
It's going really well.
If we could get it going, folks.
If you want to get that out to Zack Snyder, if you want to get that out to Henry Cavill, if you want to get that out to even Ben, whoever you want, anybody, Jeff Johns.
If you want to purchase a mullet wig at like a funny novelty store and then wait outside Henry Cavill's house for him to come out and then just pounce on him, put the wig on and take a photo and send it to us, that's on you. We don't condone that.
We're not saying you
not
should
saying
do
you
that.
Should do that, but if you did
but
that,
look, I'll link,
we'd send you a
I'll
t-shirt
link where you
probably.
Buy a wig.
We'll send a t-shirt to your jail cell is what we'll do.
Now, look, the thing is, this, like, look, you know that video I made where Batman kills all those people?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, that didn't actually have a direct impact on the movie because that came out after the movie had... filmed. Do you know what I mean?
Good.
It was done. It just Snyder happened to have seen it.
And then he used it to justify it.
Yeah, he mentioned it in passing.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing. Like Superman's hair has already been decided upon.
Right.
This is just more to annoy people because
I
think it's funny.
Yeah.
And you know what? I genuinely want to see it. You don't want to see it.
No. Why would it happen? You know why I would hate it? Because they'd have to contrive a scenario. It's like remember we saw X-Men Apocalypse like a few weeks back. And they had to justify why Professor X doesn't have hair.
And they... so good.
No, they ballsed
I'm
it.
Giving the okay
they
symbol.
Yeah, I can see that, but that's also the symbol for ballsing things up. You can see the balls are right
no,
there.
No, that's this too.
Oh,
two
of them,
okay symbols.
Okay, right. But they were like, oh, well, instead of just going, oh, he got older and he lost his hair, they had to be like, psychic energy ruined his hair or whatever. So with this, they're going to have to be... There's going to have to be some sort of scene where he wakes up with long hair and then he's like, I time to cut my hair with my heat vision. And then he heat visions some of it off. He gets a mullet and then an emergency happens and he has to fly.
Well, it doesn't
off.
Have to be a strict, it can just be long all over. You just make sure the long's the back's long. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
All right.
And if he wants to, I'm not saying he has to, he can slick it back and tie it into a little ponytail at the back.
Top knot. Would you like a top knot?
No. Yeah, that's two now and I want
pigtails?
Yeah, pigtails is fine.
Faux hawk.
Not a fan.
No, no.
Are you a fan of the faux hawk?
No.
Get it out of here.
All right. What if he has that haircut that like George Clooney had in the 90s, which was sort of like Roman...
The Caesar.
Yeah, the Caesar, just down the front
The
there.
Johnny Lee Miller. Yeah. That's what they call that one.
What if he has a different haircut in every scene?
I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
I think we will see the black suit. Like, I genuinely
do. I hope
so,
yeah.
And I think I don't know whether he'll have a mullet or longer hair. I think his hair will be longer. Because if he's in stasis or he's been dead for this long, then yeah, his hair would be longer. But I genuinely think... Henry Cavill wasn't on set. They didn't say anything about him. Apparently he's going to turn up later in the movie, but I genuinely think we're going to get that black suit.
Great.
And I really want to see it because I really like that suit.
Nothing makes a superhero movie great, greater than some of its parts, than putting the main character in a black suit.
That's right.
Endless examples. Spider-Man 3.
X-Men, all of them.
All the X-Men's. Ghost Rider, he's wearing a black leather jacket.
Underworld.
Great. good. How do you think they're going to wave away Clark Kent also being dead?
That, I was going to ask you that question.
Well, in the comic books, they're just like, he was trapped under rubble for weeks. I think they'll do that. I mean, they did literally give him a funeral.
They gave him a funeral, I don't know. I mean, if they eventually get around a Flashpoint, they can wipe all that.
No, please don't do that.
No?
I reckon maybe they can be like, oh, the body was destroyed
mangled,
or whatever.
We mangled,
we thought it was Clark Kent, but it was a different body or something like that. You could even say... You could even have Bruce Wayne, he put a body that looked like Clark Kent in the coffin.
Right.
And it's now in the... His actual body's in the Batcave or something like that.
Right, right. It's fine. Yeah, fair enough, yeah. Any of that is fine. I wonder if... Because I wonder what the deal is with the Fortress of Solitude in this universe.
Mm.
And whether... Because it was kind of implied in Batman, Superman, that he comes... That he's repowering, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because you see the grave kind of ripple or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like if something's going to come and get him and put him in a stasis.
Yeah.
Because that's what it does in the
comics, think it's going
right?
to be Kryptonian robots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or...
But he doesn't have a Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Well, yeah, because bloody Lex Luthor hijacked it and...
Yeah. They might even put a scene where that ship in Metropolis, you know, takes off and flies off and they're like, where did it go? And then it...
But chucks a bloody Yui.
Chucks a Yui, exactly. Chucks a Yui. And then it sends a bot, and then it collects the body and takes off. You know.
Yeah, fair
enough. You know what I'm talking about.
Do you think there's any chance we'll see, I don't think that we will, but any other Superman? You know, like...
Oh, like a cyborg Superman?
Yeah. I think that's too complicated for a movie where you've got parademons and all this. And the way they've set it up, it just doesn't seem like...
No.
I don't love the death of Superman. I like... Bits of it. I like the black suit. I love the mullet.
Yeah.
Hashtag mullet.
What happened
Superman.
To... What happened to... In Man of Steel, what happened to Superman's rocket ship? Was it still in the barn?
Oh, yeah. It is, actually. Yeah. It gets... Fiora, like, opens it to see if the codex
that's
is
right.
In it.
Okay.
And then that's the last
because,
we see.
Okay. Because basically the origin of the cyborg Superman is...
Right.
It's the guy... It's this guy, Hank Henshaw. It was like a Fantastic Four gone wrong.
Yeah.
Him and his wife and some other scientists go into space. They're hit with, like, radiation.
Right.
They come back down to Earth... And he loses kind of his body disintegrates, but then he can transfer himself into computer systems.
Nice.
And so eventually he becomes evil. And after Superman defeats him a couple of times, he like sends his consciousness into Superman's rocket ship, which Superman's thrown into orbit. So nobody can find it. And then he uses the DNA and the Kryptonian technology to turn himself into cyborg Superman and come back down.
Do we get that fully fleshed out in The Death of Superman?
How do you mean?
Like, because... In the Death of Superman comic, is that fully explained where he's come
yes,
from?
Yes, but not at the time.
Okay, like so I mean like after...
Yeah, after the fact,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, right.
Initially, he just shows up and he says, it's me, Superman. I've been injured.
Yeah.
Look, I've got cyborg parts where I was injured in my fight with Doomsday, but it's me again.
Yeah.
And the president's like, sure thing, Superman.
You look above board. I like your half-skeletal face.
I like your robot arm that turns into a laser gun. Great work, buddy.
Classic Superman.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I look so that's the thing. You'd have to build in. They'd have to do it on such a thin timeline because they'd have to be like, okay, here's somebody who was working with Kryptonian technology and he falls into a vat of Kryptonian technology, right, and then he comes out of Cyborg, whatever. Like,
sure.
There's too much work to it.
Yeah, yeah. All in all, this sounds like a much more kind of hopeful, lighthearted movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they seem to be going for.
Yep.
I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah. If you like dark superhero movies, that's fine. But
it is okay to have a dark superhero movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Like Deborah Snyder even said, look, what we learn from it is people don't like deconstructed superheroes.
Disagree. But,
yeah, with Watchmen. Like yeah. that is Kick-Ass. Like there's,
you literally did a there's movie. There's so many. Zack Snyder, yeah. You literally did a yeah. movie about it.
Both of those are great.
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I just think the deconstruction didn't work. Someone said to me on Twitter or maybe in the comments that first you have to kind of build the superheroes before you deconstruct them. And they didn't really build up Superman before they kind of broke him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason that Watchmen works on film is because he had a very definitively, like he was working directly from what is essentially storyboards in the Watchmen comic.
Yes,
you can't deviate
yes.
from any of it, otherwise it doesn't make sense.
That's right.
But with BVS, he was like, I'll just take a bit of this and a bit of this and a bit of this, because there's no clearly defined.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no, they keep changing the way that Batman and Superman meet in the comic book. So
yeah. You know, sometimes they meet on a sailboat. Or
sometimes
whatever.
They meet on a sailboat. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think it's, I don't know, I don't buy the excuse as well. I don't want to get into this. That like Superman, he shouldn't be held responsible because it was his first day and he's just learning, what was he supposed to do. But the thing is, Batman turns up in this world fully established as Batman. There is no reason why you can't do that for Superman or have Man of Steel exist. And by the time Batman Superman rolls around, he is Superman.
Right.
And the way that I see Superman is, I didn't believe that the people in that movie of that world would like or trust this guy.
Mm.
And it's okay for people in that world to be distrustful of him, but you need the audience looking in
to know that he's
trust.
A good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You need the same
way that Spider-Man works. Yeah. A lot of people hate Spider-Man in that movie, but you watching that movie, you know that he's not a bad person.
You're always rooting for him and going like, come on, J. Jonah Jameson, see the other side of this or whatever.
Yeah.
And then eventually the people are like, we're from New York and we support you, Spidey.
That's right, yeah.
We're throwing rocks.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway,
great stuff.
Look, you know what? None of this is bad news.
Mm-hmm. How's Suicide Squad looking?
I think it'll be good. I genuinely think it will be good. Mm. Do you think it will be good?
Looks pretty good.
Good.
I'm looking forward to the Joker's outfits.
Yeah.
And you know what? Credit to them. They've clearly learned, do not spoil the entire plot in the trailer.
Yes.
It's nearly, when's it coming out?
August.
That's a long way away still.
Like 2 months.
Okay.
What are we? Yeah, it's late June.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Calm down, all right?
Jeez. What? When in August? When?
I want to say 20-ish.
Oh, it's so late.
I can look it up for you.
No, don't do it now. I'll do it later.
I'll do it. I don't mind, no. Mason.
Okay, great.
You just have a drink of this wine.
Oh.
All right, here we go. August 4. Even better.
Oh!
Even closer than you or I thought.
Nice.
Good. That's great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Right. Now, we're going to talk Independence Day. Mm. I was on a podcast earlier this week. It's called the Elseworld Exchange. You can find it over at the Comic Pop YouTube channel.
Okay.
Or on iTunes. It's linked below, where it's myself, Sal from Comic Pop, and Joel from Caped Joel, where we talked about the kind of the history and some of our favorite summer blockbusters.
Oh, yes.
And how it's kind of evolved over the years.
What's your favorite summer blockbuster then?
Probably Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I want to say.
That's it's the big one, and it's got a lot... It's got so much nostalgia on it.
Yes. And... sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I don't think Independence Day has that.
No.
Like, people loved it at the time.
Yeah.
People haven't been clamoring for a new
one.
No,
and that's kind of been reflected in a lot of the responses to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really cool, and it was really good fun. So
Elseworlds Exchange.
Elseworlds Exchange.
Love it. Buddy,
check it out below. Subscribe to both those guys, Mason, even though you won't even subscribe to me, even though every day I send you a text, a reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's never done it.
Yeah.
Heartbreaks. Let's talk Independence
Let's
Day.
Let's do
though.
It. Independence Day Resurgence. Oh, no.
No. Look, I just have a quote here. Yes. And I want to see what you think.
Okay, I'm
Roland
ready.
Roland Emmerich has said that a lot of the comic book movies have kind of copied his formula.
Uh-huh.
This is what he said. I felt like when some of them... Roland Emmerich, by the way, directed Independence Day.
Yep.
And this and 2012, a whole lot of crap in between.
Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah. Something about a Shakespeare one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Godzilla 98.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I felt like when I saw some of these Marvel or movies or DC movies from Warner's, I felt, oh, my God, that looks familiar to me. Why is Superman bashing so many buildings? I was actually warned by Steven Spielberg that this would happen. He saw Independence Day. He said that Independence Day would be the most imitated film for the next 20 years, and he was right. Smart man. Do you think that these superhero movies parallel... the work of Roland Emmerich?
No. Not even a little bit. You can't copyright buildings falling over.
Well, do you remember all those disaster
movies? You know who invented it? World War II.
Well, yeah.
World War II invented buildings falling over. And earthquakes invented buildings falling over.
Do you remember all those, like, you got your Towering Inferno and, like, the earthquake disaster movies in the 70s?
Mm.
There was a whole lot of that. Do you remember that? There was a big kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Independence
Airport,
Day.
Airport, 77.
That's right.
Airport, 75. Probably other ones.
Independence Day brought that, modernized it.
That's why the movie Airplane is called Flying High in Australia.
Mm.
Most people were like, well, why is it called Airplane? Because we don't know what an airplane, because we say aeroplane. It's not. It's because it came in the wake of all those airport movies, which started not doing as well. And so they're like, well, we don't want to confuse people into thinking it's an airline disaster movie.
Let's call it Flying High.
Let's call it Flying High.
Woo!
Doobies. I don't know what that means.
So look, yeah, buildings fall. I'm not saying some of that technology that was pioneered in those movies.
Oh, sure.
Isn't used.
Look, and I think maybe in terms of spectacle.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, I guess in terms of its spectacle with a villain behind it.
Yes.
I guess in terms that, like, he kind of pioneered that. And like, if you think of like an airport movie or some movie about Towering Infernos or whatever.
Right.
It's just the villain is faulty wiring.
But I would say most of his movies, except for the Independence Day films, there is no villain.
Correct.
It's just like the ice is coming to get you.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Right.
And
the
as
villain is man in a lot of cases.
That's right.
But only inadvertently, because we didn't recycle.
No. And I, as I've said multiple times, I just have a massive disdain.
You hate him.
For movies that just, it's just buildings falling down.
Uh-huh.
I just cannot. And that's why I'm okay with Independence Day, because there is a plot and there's, you know, there's charisma behind it.
Uh-huh.
There's a bit of a story.
Ultimately, in those movies like the 2012s and the Day After Tomorrow, whatever, the villain, or the San Andreas, the villain is just somebody who won't participate in the rescue effort.
Or evacuate a thing.
Yeah. Somebody, it's the villain is just somebody who's in it for themselves.
Yeah.
Which,
and they're all the same. Like, at the start, they'll go to like a facility and they're like, can you believe these readings? This is off the chart. Like, every time. And then they go to show the Pentagon, and the Pentagon's like, go fuck yourself. The world's fine, and this volcano won't explode or whatever.
I'm throwing this styrofoam coffee cup in the garbage. I do what I like. Oh, no, I'm dead now.
That's right. And then, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal or John Cusack, whoever, was right, and then it's... No, he was a limo driver in that one, wasn't he?
What's the last thing Cusack did? I was just thinking about Cusack the other day.
He doesn't do a lot of great stuff.
He wasn't in Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
He was, actually.
Oh, he was very briefly. Okay, yeah. All right, he was.
Idiot.
I was just thinking the other day, because he's a very underrated on-screen combatant. We've had this conversation before. Because he's in Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Great movie. He was also in War? War Incorporated.
Some good hand-to-hand stuff.
Very good hand-to-hand. Where he's Martin Blank in all but name.
Yeah,
In War Incorporated. So if you've seen Gross Point Blank and you liked it, you should see that one.
Yeah, it's not
also,
as good. But
Hilary Duff puts a scorpion in her vagina or something. Remember that?
And it's his daughter, it turns out.
Who's to say?
Spoiler alert.
No way of knowing.
There's no way of knowing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to go non-spoilers and spoilers for Independence Day. Not that it matters. But Mason, what do you think the story was?
Oh, no, yeah. I thought of that earlier and I'm like, oh, I should think of what the story was and then...
How about I start you off?
Okay.
It's been 20 years.
Yeah. And now it's the sequel to Independence Day. We did it, guys. It's 20 years. It's the year 2016.
Yep.
But in the world, it's on the Earth where aliens invaded in 1996.
Yes.
So since humanity defeated the aliens, they've incorporated all the alien technology into their world.
Correct.
So it's now a somewhat more futuristic world.
Yes.
In the sense that we have large televisions.
A base on the moon.
Base on the moon.
Helicopters without blades.
That go...
And that's pretty much
planes
it.
That have got... Jet fighters that have got glowy things and
holographic
shoot lasers.
Interfaces.
Ah, iPads. They don't have Apple logos on them.
Don't they?
I don't think so.
No Apple in this
blank.
One. Yeah, you're probably right. No, that's it. And then they come back, don't they?
They do come back.
With an even bigger or a ship.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen a lot of reviews where people are like, they hate this.
Uh-huh.
Did you hate it?
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. My initial reaction was indifference.
Yes.
I've had some time to think about it because we saw it on Tuesday, right? And it's now Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it seems like a bloody lifetime ago. But in that time, I'm like, no, I had quite a bit of fun in this movie. You know what it is, though? It's... Again, having not seen a Roland Emmerich film in quite a long time.
Right.
Except for Independence Day, which we saw like the day before.
There's a commentary track.
There is.
Link it below.
On the band Bandicam.
Yeah. And Patreon.
It feels a lot like a Roland Emmerich film, and I do feel like the time of the Roland Emmerich film has passed.
He feels that.
at no point did I feel like I wasn't watching a movie. Every second of this, I'm like... Oh yeah, this movie's going along, isn't it? Now this movie thing, now this movie trope will happen.
Right.
This person's standing here looking like they're about to deliver some movie dialogue. Somebody's going to deliver a moving movie speech, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody's going to make a movie sacrifice. Like it's at no point am I going to be surprised by anything in this movie. And I wasn't, but it was pretty fun.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Funner than X-Men Apocalypse?
Ooh. Yes.
Okay. Mm. See, it's not a great movie by any stretch,
uh-huh.
but I'm of the opinion where something can just be okay.
Uh-huh.
Like to me, Batman Superman is okay.
Uh-huh.
This is okay. X-Men Apocalypse is okay.
Yeah.
Not everything is terrible or amazing.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that's the point of our rating system.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you hated this.
Yeah.
Hey man, you hate it. That's
okay.
Fine.
If you woke up having seen this, if you woke up in the cinema and it was on, would you stay or would you leave?
Again?
Yes.
No, I would leave.
You'd leave. Okay.
Yeah. But if it was the first time,
yep.
I would say my enthusiasm for it waned as it kind of went on. Like initially,
yep.
I was like, I'm well on board for this. Let's talk about the new cast. Mm-hmm. You got a bloody Hemsworth.
We do. Yeah.
I thought he did a pretty good kind of Will Smith kind of thing.
Yeah.
He had some quips.
Uh-huh.
He had a good little friend.
You have a little friend. Yeah, a fun little friend.
The Will Smith's son.
Not in real life.
Not in real life, thank God. Mm. People are like, he's a bloody charisma vacuum and whatever. I thought he's not Will Smith in not the 96 version.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like a third of the charisma of that.
It'd be weird if they just threw in a guy who sounded and acted exactly like Will Smith.
Right. But I thought he did okay. That being said, I didn't think you need Hemsworth and Will Smith Jr.
I don't want to brag, but I've just been followed by Original Pancake Kitchen on Instagram.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know what that is.
There's a Chinese girl.
Correct.
They swap out the president's daughter.
Yep.
Because it's originally, as we slowly...
Here's a quiz for you. How many Chinese pop stars do you think are in this film?
Oh, that's a very good question. Like, did they transformer it? Because there's a lot of react... Because what they basically do, spoiler alert, it's in the trailer. They take a big Chinese city and they drop it on London.
I don't know which one. Yeah.
But and there's a lot of time spent on one particular guy
There's a guy in the back of a cab.
And he looks pop star.
He's got headphones in and there's music playing.
Yeah.
And then he's like, listening. What's going on? What's happening? And then he looks back and the city's exploding. I would be willing to bet a lot of money that that guy's a Chinese pop star and he's listening to his own song in headphones.
You were definitely not wrong. Mm. But you might be.
Maybe. Side note, yeah. I also, this week I also watched Now You See Me 2.
Oh, with Nicholas J. Jonah Jameson.
With my friend Nicholas J. Johnson. We're going to do a podcast on it pretty soon. He's got a podcast called...
You did it last time.
He's got a podcast called Scammapalooza.
Sweet.
And if you haven't seen it, Now You See Me 2 is much bigger and dumber than the previous one.
Right.
But I did enjoy it primarily because I was watching it with an actual magician who had his head in his hands the whole time while watching it, and that made me enjoy it all the
more. That's true. Sometimes when somebody hates something more than you, it makes it fun.
But there is a supporting character in it who is a Chinese pop star. And I'm like, is that guy a Chinese pop star? And he's like, yeah, it is.
How does he know?
Because he's a Chinese pop star who's also an amateur magician.
That's what I like to hear, mate. Right? Uh-huh. He's there, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, that's right. He can do it all.
Good stuff. What about the old cast? Goldblum's back.
He is. Better than ever.
Could have used more of him, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I think you're probably
right. You could have hung this movie on him.
Okay.
And he would have been... I mean, they're probably like, he's 60. You know, maybe kids won't like him.
Yep.
But he's easily the best character in this movie, right?
Yeah.
And he just seems like he's just kind of...
Yeah, he's got the most charisma.
Yeah.
But that's a charisma of decades in Hollywood, you know what I mean?
That's
true. He's got that certain something, man. That's why he's a star. That's why he was the star of The Fly.
That's right.
Remake. Along with A Fly.
That's right, along with A Fly. Vivica A. Fox is briefly
She has graduated from being a stripper in the first movie to...
A medical doctor or nurse?
I think
she's wearing a white coat. So
I think she's the head of
a ward.
Yeah, so I think she's a doctor who is also the head of like surgery at the hospital.
I'm imagining.
Anyway, good on her.
I think she was in the bloody she was in the kids ward, like the baby ward.
Ah, okay, right.
She was like, "Get this pregnant woman out of here at all costs! I'll fall off a building." Spoiler alert: she dies. She's dead. Brett Spiner.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying Brett or Brent?
Brett.
It's Brent.
Is it?
Like a David Brent.
Like David Brent. Mm-hmm. Man, I've been saying that wrong for years.
Oof.
Sorry, everybody. And I'm a massive Tatar fan as well.
Mm.
What'd you think of him?
Look, here's the thing. Right. I found most of the supporting characters thoroughly annoying.
You know what? He had a sidekick.
Right?
That should not have been in that movie.
Why is that?
I was thinking, was he in the last one? I didn't see him because it's like, remember all the memories we've had.
I have no memory of him from the
previous
movie.
Me neither. He might be in it,
But
when did I see? Somebody said that he was like, he's either a producer or a writer on this movie. So they're like, let's put him in because he's probably a good bloke in real life, but that does not translate.
Oh yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wrote it like they had some incredible history together.
Yeah.
But I have no memory of that. Yeah.
No. And he didn't even, I mean, you can write that in and you can feel that, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I felt like Jeff Goldblum and his love interest had more history than those two.
Yeah, right.
Because by the way, spoiler alert, his wife died of cancer, I think like 5 years before this or something.
Do you think it was alien based?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, almost certainly.
I mean, or fly-based.
Probably all those weird glowing rings that they put on everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, honey, I've just bought this new microwave with a big glowing green ring on it. It's got alien technology in it.
Stand near it.
Yeah, just stand really close.
Judd Hirsch?
Looking exactly the same as he did in 1996. How does he do it?
He should have died in that wave. Because he really, if I had to cut a side story from it,
it'd be him doing his Judd Hirsch thing.
And I like him a lot.
Uh-huh.
But... didn't like any of that.
He's 19 years older than Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, apparently. Really? Yeah, so he could be his dad.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I guess you can father a kid once you hit puberty, as you discovered.
Yeah. And now.
And of course, the president returns.
Yeah, the president. I mean, sure, there's probably been presidents since then.
I doubt it.
Mm.
Yeah, but he's... And so there's been some residual effects from the aliens have a psychic connection to people that they've had close contact with.
Yes.
Bill Pullman or Paxton, Brett Spiner.
Yeah.
A warlord.
Yep.
Just anybody who's kind of, been near them. Uh-huh. Did you like that? Or were you like, it's a bit convenient to be like, here's some plot that we can convey to you through our minds?
Well, look.
It's weird that they've got that footage of the president's speech on the alien home ship.
Right. Look, and again, I think, in a real film. No, but I mean, in a modern day film.
Right.
And in a movie that came out in 2016, you wouldn't have that. The psychic connection is too convenient, and it's really sold as, you really feel that it's very convenient the whole time.
Right.
I was never like, oh, this, I'm always like, yeah, you've written this in to further the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But in a Roland Emmerich film, in this Roland Emmerich film from 1997 that they just unearthed in 2016, which is this film, I guess it's fine.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
It did feel very throwbacky. What did you think about the 2016 aesthetic that they had kind of created?
It didn't look very fun.
No, it didn't.
It didn't look that fun, and it only seemed to be in America.
Okay,
yeah. Every other city seemed to be just about the same.
Pretty much the same, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was a global conflict, as we know.
Yeah. I'm sad that the Sydney Opera House was destroyed.
That
building I've never been to.
You never been to it?
No, never.
I've seen it from the outside.
Great.
But I've never been into it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever will. Yeah, no, I thought there was kind of some missed opportunity. I thought we were going to get more interesting variations.
No, all we got was faster spaceships and everybody's got a laser.
Yeah. No, that laser wasn't even alien tech that they used.
Oh, it's just regular.
Brent Spiner just had it.
Oh, yeah, that's like, okay, yeah.
Let me get me 96 laser.
No, but I mean, like, everybody's got like an alien blaster rifle.
Yeah,
right?
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah. There's some other stuff that they updated the aliens a little bit.
I like the upgrades
to the alien stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. The giant ship you're talking about?
I'm talking about like the alien kind of, the alien shock troopers, like the kind of ground troops looked good.
Yeah.
It makes sense. They've had 20 years to...
It was the same thing as the Jurassic Park sequels, in particular the third one, mm-hmm. where they look different from the original.
Yep.
Because obviously special effects have advanced, but they're supposed to be like the same aliens.
Right.
There's more detail on them and more strangly
little
bits coming off them. Strangly bits.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Some of the designs look great. We'll get into it in spoilers, but there's one particular design that I enjoyed a lot.
I will talk about that with you. Special effects in general, though.
Fine.
A lot of shit going on, isn't there? Especially towards the end. A
lot of movement.
Salt flats.
Yeah.
Aerial dogfights.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers?
Is there anything else to talk about?
I think you've either seen this movie or you don't care.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Was it funny? I'll answer that. No, it wasn't funny. Were there jokes in it? Yes. Were any of them funny? No.
I feel like, in the first one, there was some funny jokes, maybe? But I can't name one.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's not to say they weren't there.
Yeah.
Best or worst movie, Mason?
I'm going to go with worst movie ever.
Oh, really?
Look, I had some fun with it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't recommend it.
Wouldn't go back again. I would leave if I woke up. In the cinema.
You'd leave. Yeah. Oh, if you were in it again.
Yeah, right, okay. I think that's my yardstick now. Would I stick around for it again? No.
Yeah, I wouldn't stick around for it again. That being said, it's okay.
Mm.
So I guess I have to say best.
Right. There are a lot of good movies out right now that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
In Lewis.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah, Hunt for the Wilder People. I haven't seen The Nice Guys yet.
Yeah, me neither. Mm. God damn it.
Let's do it tomorrow.
Nah.
I'm busy tomorrow.
I'm not.
I'm busy tomorrow.
You know what I think it is? This is why people hate okay movies.
Yeah.
If you put down 10, 20 bucks or pound or euro or whatever, wherever you're from.
If you put down 20 Brexits.
Yeah, that's right. But if you go to see a movie and it's just okay.
Yep.
You've wasted your money, essentially.
Correct, yes.
So I guess I can understand it from that perspective.
Mm.
Maybe it's because we're so rich from all these podcasting that we do.
Absolutely.
That money is nothing to us.
Mm.
We throw it away, then we collect it because we need it to live.
Yeah.
All right, spoilers.
Okay.
Judd Hirsch, what was that?
The kids.
That crap.
Hanging out with the kids.
So
unnecessary. Cut it out. Pointless. Completely pointless.
Too many coincidences.
Too many coincidences. And the only reason they exist is because they can show up and he can be like, what are you doing, Jeff Goldblum? And Jeff Goldblum's like, Dad.
Dad.
Get out of the salt flats, Dad.
Dad.
We're trying to make something happen here, Dad.
Dad.
Dad. Dad.
Dad.
Also, slightly...
Dad.
That's what I was going to say. This is non-spoilery, but... some people probably haven't switched off yet. This one felt a lot more like a video game. Did you feel that?
Because it's very shiny? No, it looks like also, a cutscene.
No, but also because like there was a it did look a lot like a cutscene. But
there was, like there's a boss.
There's a boss, and there was a lot of
there's
like,
a weak spot.
There's a weak spot, and you've got a they've got a there's if. It, the movie never really, to me, the movie never really established how any of the alien technology worked in the sense that in the first movie, everything's got an indestructible force field on it. You can't breach the force field. So now we have to go and we have to upload a virus and then they won't have the shields. Then we can shoot them down and then we blow up the mothership or whatever. Yeah. The rules were there. But in this, the rules are never really established.
No.
Because every, like, the bad guys have force fields and energy weapons. The good guys have energy weapons and some degree of force fields. And it's like, okay, so what happens when an Earth energy weapon hits an alien shield?
Yeah.
We never really...
Well,
never really...
they can, I guess they can knock him out.
Right.
Because the Queen has a personal energy shield.
Yeah, and but it's never really... So she's just, at the end, they're just blasting away at it. They're like, now the shield's down. What? How? What?
Chipping away.
Just chipped away at it. How do we know? Because that's how it felt video gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and that's the worst. I hate a boss battle where you have to chip right, away at a shield, then the shield goes away, and then you have to hammer the weak spot.
Then the chest opens up.
Then the and then the shields come back, and you have to chip away at the shields again. No. I hate them. I hate them.
I can't disagree
So
with
why
that.
Would you put that in? Anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, to me, it never established. Mm. It's difficult for me to follow on this narrative if... I'm like, well, why don't they...
Well, I guess it should be, because in the first one, like, bullets, nukes, any kind of earth weapons couldn't penetrate a shield.
Yep.
But in this one, if you're using alien tech, then I guess you can eventually penetrate the shield.
Yeah, right.
I guess that's the rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Two okays, though.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah. What else are we talking about? But the alien queen I thought looked really good.
Yeah, great design, right? I did like that... The whole stomping around the salt flats and she comes out of the ship and bloody runs about and now she lays the trap for them. And I liked all that stuff like inside the ship and you see they're harvesting food and whatever. And I enjoyed all of that. But it was, I can't disagree with that. It's a bit video game. And you know how they shot her in the back and then the front opens up and she spills out of it, which was an established weakness of the species. But... I don't think anybody told Liam Hemsworth that.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, he just bloody lucked out, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a, this is from Sean. No, sorry, this is from, he does have something to say though. I'll give Sean's
tweet. A lot of Sean's don't have anything to say, but luckily this Sean has something to say.
Independence Day, bracket spoiler, felt more like a video game movie than Warcraft.
Thank you.
Even has narration.
Mm.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Charmuth says, ID2, dumb fun, but best movie ever for me. Did you like the bit where they got out of being in a hive by flying up?
Yes, I loved it.
It was the best bit.
Yeah.
I don't... What else are we saying about this?
What did you think of the weird sphere alien?
I thought it was interesting, but they didn't utilize what it could do. It had, like, knowledge of the universe, and we heard that it had knowledge of the universe, and we briefly saw it, but we didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like... give up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, this movie also felt like we're gonna do three more of these kind of thing.
Yeah, I
right?
don't know whether they will.
No, I don't think they will. But that was its one concession I feel to modern movie making is they're like we've got to build in some franchise points to this.
And the first one definitely didn't have that.
No, absolutely. It was one and done. Yeah. And this one felt like okay, well we've got to establish that there's a planet and it's got other rebel races on it and we've got to defeat these.
I think the way you rescue this franchise, if you do a sequel, again, I didn't hate this, but you can't do this again. If you're going to make this...
Well, they even said that in the movie. They're like, we can't defend against these aliens again.
Let's take the fight to the streets, of the space streets.
Yeah.
So there's a planet... There's a planet where all the greatest minds or whoever's left in the galaxy to fight against the aliens who aren't given a name, live, and they're going to... And Earth's going to lead that attack.
Right, yeah.
Even though they should. I mean, I didn't think their plan was so revolutionary that nobody else in the galaxy could have thought of that. Mm. They were just like, yeah, we'll blow up the ship from the inside.
Mm.
But the sphere's like, you'll never defeat it. You suck. None of you are good at anything.
Just give up. Kill me, please.
But then at the end.
Well, why did you even show up?
Yeah, I know.
Like, just fly into the sun. I mean... I'm here to give you a warning, but no help whatsoever. You'll have to come up with your own plan.
That probably won't work.
Mm.
Yeah. That being said, the idea of taking this to space does excite me a little bit. When I say excite me, I mean I would definitely see it.
Right.
And probably not even just because I'd have to see it for this show.
Uh-huh.
I think, though, you'd have to get Will Smith back to get everybody back on board. And you know what? I think this sequel would have benefited from not getting Roland Emmerich back to getting fresh eyes on it.
I agree. I've spoken to people since who've said, like, I kept expecting Will Smith to show up.
Right.
In some form or another.
Yeah. Because they say he's dead and he died in a crash. But if there's all these other aliens in the world and you see that ball come out of a weird wormhole.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So they could have easily just grabbed him out of that ship and he's on that planet.
Exactly.
Defending whatever.
They could have done it Free Jack style.
Yeah.
Where they got Emilio Estevez and they took him from the moment of his death through time to Mick Jagger's house in the movie Free Jack. We still have to do that episode about the future where the time...
Oh, definitely.
Where it's already happened.
I would love to. Mm. That would be my greatest joy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you brought back Will Smith...
Uh-huh.
And because that would be kind of like your Vin Diesel and your Paul Walker coming back to Fast and Furious moment.
Uh-huh.
If they just threw a whole lot of money at him. Because that's apparently one of the major reasons why he didn't do it. In hindsight, he's probably like, I'm glad I didn't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think you could resurrect this franchise with a different director and bring back Will Smith.
Okay.
But they probably won't.
Heaps of sweet aliens.
Yeah.
Like, and different, like, you know what? It kind of bored me to a certain point where all we really had was, like... Everybody's got a blaster.
Yep.
All the ships have little blasters, and all the like the alien ships and the human weapons have that weapon where it's just the green beam.
Yep.
And it targets something, and then it shoots a ball of light, and then that's the weapon. Like boring. Give us some more interesting weapons. Give us more interesting alien.
More force fields. Please.
Aliens, technology, more of that. I would rather than see a sequel to this, I'd rather just see another season of Stargate SG-1. I think. Because that was fun. That was more fun.
Well, not going to happen. Roland Emmerich is going to do another Stargate.
He is?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
I don't know if I've seen that first movie or all of it.
The TV series is quite
good.
TV
series I've seen.
The movie is a little dull. And by a little dull, I mean very dull.
Yeah, but
the TV series did not take itself very seriously.
They say it was the gods of Egypt of its day.
Oh, and how.
Good stuff. Yeah. Anything else? You sound thoroughly unimpressed, but not offended.
Yeah, no, I was not offended. Yeah. I feel I should have been offended.
Yeah, but you know what? I knew that this was going to... I was looking forward to it, but I'm like, what do you expect?
Right.
Like, it's not gonna have the pioneering special effects of the original.
Yep.
It's like a new Indiana Jones, like when the new one came out, like, you're not going to get the same thing.
Right.
You're going to get... Well, yeah, sorry, you are going to get the same thing, but you're not going to feel the same seeing it.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because things have kind of moved on from when this movie came out.
That being said, I did kind of feel the same insofar as I saw the first one on Monday, and I'm like, ugh, movies have really moved on since then.
Yes.
And then I saw the sequel, and I'm like, this guy hasn't moved on since then, really. Now that I think about it.
Should we skip ahead? Not skip ahead. Should we just move into the next segment of the show?
Well, do we have anything else left to say about the movie?
I don't.
You know what?
But I'll listen to you if you've got
the
things to
the
say.
Only one thing that I thought of just now is that in the movie, this 3,000-mile-wide spaceship lands on Earth.
All right.
And then they're like, say, yeah. and then the president, you know, the scientists are like, well, if we defeat the alien mothership, then it'll fly away into space and then it'll go home. It's like...
Would it?
And that felt so contrived. And I would have much rather we defeated the aliens and then all of a sudden we have a 3,000-mile-wide spaceship stuck on Earth. Just, it's there now. It's a
permanent... That would have been really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this world, it's not our world. So
it doesn't matter.
You do anything you want.
You're not ruining it. Yeah.
It felt kind of... The whole thing felt kind of limited in scope. Yeah. Given that it's a world where you can do anything.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
That is a very video game kind of... I don't know, we'll go on.
Yeah, exactly. Defeat it and they'll fly away.
Yeah.
Also, is it all... It's the same race, I guess, from the... Like the alien race from the first one.
Seems to be.
Nah, I nearly had a thought about it, but I don't care. I don't care anymore, really.
I got one more thing to say.
Okay, I'm
Bill
ready.
Bill Paxton or Pullman.
Yeah.
I thought his chin would be weaker under that beard.
But it was great.
He's been looking after himself, that bloke. Yeah.
And you also thought that somebody would have a stirring speech. We didn't get a stirring speech in this
The president has a kind of moment in the hangar where he's like, hey, listen, There was also aliens once, and this is the same sort of.
I mean,
I think we could do it.
I mean, they're better now, and they've wrecked all of our stuff.
Yeah,
but
except for the White House, they made a point not to.
Yeah,
yeah.
Look, I guess we'll just
maybe they went. We can't beat that speech, so we won. Yeah, unless that was it. That was the attempt.
Yeah,
yeah.
Also, Paxton/Pullman did not have a good day when he just...
What a shit death.
He went to kill the queen and nothing happened.
Yeah, that's true, but he was just kind of like... He didn't have a moment where like... Was he like, remember me? Did he say something like that? And that would have been like... I'm sure there was a moment like that and that would have been like, no. Actually, they have that footage of him.
You all look the same to us.
But that's true, but they have that footage of him.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Which is weird. Who was filming that?
Yeah.
I guess the director of the movie.
Yeah. Also, it disappointed me that they didn't, upon realizing only recently that the president's daughter was played by Mae Whitman.
Yes.
Who was Anne Veal in Arrested Development.
Egg.
Her. I felt very sad that they didn't bring her in.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? You
know because I mean? I don't think she's like, she's good looking, but she's not like.
She's not rail thin.
Yeah, she's not rail
she's
thin.
Not, and she's not a Liam Hemsworth girlfriend.
No.
Right.
She's not a Miley Cyrus, who is Liam Hemsworth's real life girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, I can't explain that away. Mm. Maybe she was busy doing indie films.
Yeah.
Maybe she thought this looks terrible and didn't want to do it. Mm. You know what? If this is on TV...
Yep.
If I was watching TV and it came on,
yep.
I wouldn't turn it off, but I'd probably still be on my computer doing some stuff.
Oh, you'd just be idly waiting for Goldblum scenes, probably?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd switch it off.
I would have liked more alien lore. You know at the start, you kind of see their ship that's landed?
Uh-huh.
More of that. You could even make this whole thing a ground battle.
Yeah, totally.
That would have been cool. Anyway.
And alas, it wasn't cool. We never really saw like the origins of these aliens. I thought we'd kind of get that, but all we got was like, they're in these ships and they fly around and they need all your resources.
Some of the ships are bigger than others.
And yeah, and it's never... It's one of those like, you know, in the Matrix, it's like when they harvest humans for the electricity and you go... That's not very efficient.
They wanted to steal our molten core.
That's right.
How many planets have molten cores?
All heaps of
them. Literally all of them.
You could have just
except
bloody...
maybe gas planets.
Yeah, but you probably...
But even then, probably.
Even then, you probably just get some siphon some gas out of bloody Jupiter
like a
or
sun
something.
Or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be fine. Idiots.
Maybe they're just dicks.
Yeah, I think they probably are just because if you have, if you can fly through space, if you've got this amazing technology, you don't need resources. You've got them. You've got all the resources.
If you exactly, you could stay where you are.
They're tilling the land.
They're right out on the field.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would have liked to see a space cow. If I'm honest
Me too.
With you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, let's do what we read.
Okay,
then.
Let's do our famous segment. What we read and
what we're gonna read. I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? Have you read anything?
What have I read? Well, I saw Now You See Me 2, which was ridiculous.
Good.
Had a good old time. It was great. I also watched the first, like, 25 minutes of the first episode of Constantine.
Oh, what'd you think? I've seen that.
Well, I think the fact that I only watched the first 25 minutes is probably turned it off.
I thought it was
garbage.
It was like Supernatural, but...
Not as good. Real bad.
There's only one guy.
There's only one guy and nobody acts like a real human being in it.
Apparently it gets better.
I'm not going to go that far.
And he crosses over with Arrow.
Oh, for 5 seconds in one episode.
Or whatever. Uh-huh. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, look...
Did you like the bit where he lit his fists on fire? He probably didn't get up to that.
Didn't get up to that point.
It may not have even happened.
Right? It's just what you wish would have happened. There's a character in it and one of her best friends is just murdered and turned into a zombie monster creature.
I don't remember.
And then she's over it in like the next scene.
Maybe they weren't that good of friends.
They seemed like good friends.
Oh.
This girl picked her up from her job when her car didn't start or something.
Would you pick me up if my car didn't start?
Yeah.
Good. Thanks, man.
Good. I don't know what else I watched this week. Not much.
Well, I read something which I'd recommend to you. It's called Dark Knight, A True Batman Story.
Oh, yes.
I've been waiting this for a while, and then when I downloaded it, I'd forgot that this is what it was.
Yes.
But it's by Paul Dini.
I love Paul Dini.
He's had a massive hand in the Batman animated series.
That's why they call it the Diniverse.
That's right. And this is, it's kind of partly a history lesson for that show, because it's told from Paul Dini's perspective. It's his life at the time where this traumatic event happened to him. And it's how he deals with it. So it's his actual life story with some exaggerated moments, because he has like one-to-one conversations with Batman and the Joker and some other villains. So Batman appears to him.
So wait, like, is this a book or a comic book?
It's a comic book.
And it's written and drawn novel. By him?
It's written by him. I don't know if it's drawn by him. I don't think it is.
That's interesting.
It's really cool. Yeah. And it's kind of him dealing with this psychological trauma and how he kind of got through it. And this is also him publishing this book was also his way of putting a cap on it and being done with it. Hmm. It's a little bit kind of what's that Christmas story, Christmas Carol, where like the Batman villains and Batman kind of show up to kind of influence him.
Right, okay. That's
they fun. Don't show him the future and the past or whatever, but okay. He has conversations with them. And
that could very easily be quite cheesy and no good, but he's saying it's great.
I didn't. That being said, I haven't read any other reviews for it, so maybe a lot of people hate it, but... Mm. No, I really enjoyed it. And it's because, like I said, it's a little bit history lesson. You learn a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit insight into the animated series and even Paul Dini's personal life and kind of like he's drinking and he's had this kind of dysfunctional kind of obsession with this actress. Huh. He's kind of using him to get to Spielberg.
Okay.
And I'd love to know who that was.
Yeah,
so if somebody knows, tweet it at me.
Somebody will have figured it out
by definitely,
now.
Yeah.
Have you... I'm thinking about getting into 11-22-63. Have you watched that?
No, what's that?
It's the one where the... It's based on the Stephen King story.
Right, there's a difference.
sort of.
They're both great.
Right, but it's the one where a man finds a portal back to...
11-22-63?
Yeah, 11-22-63 being the day Kennedy was killed.
Ah.
And he has to goes back in time and he has to figure out whether it's got James Franco in it. He has to go back in time to determine whether or not he should, you know, stop the assassination of JFK.
Does he?
I don't know, I haven't seen it. I'm thinking about getting into it, that's what I'm talking about.
How many episodes are there?
I'll tell you.
None.
There is currently...
50.
7 episodes.
Okay, what's it on?
It's just on right here. It's on Stan. So.
Stan, yeah. You bloody love Stan, don't you?
I've just got a subscription to Stan, which is for Americans is like Australian Netflix.
And we also have Netflix.
We also have Netflix. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, man.
Well, Mason, I hope you're ready for the next segment of the show.
I don't know.
Bet you are.
I don't know, James. What's the next episode of the show?
The letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day.
Right now, we're going to do that. Whenever there's a delay, I blame your Wi-Fi.
How dare you?
No.
My Wi-Fi is second to none.
Your dog was asleep. I wonder what she was dreaming about. Probably dog stuff.
Being away from you.
Oh, no. Boo, you're a bad dog.
How dare
bad
you?
Bad dog.
She's got a wonderful personality.
Good. It's a relief.
This is from Ferkel Quigley.
Looks like an eel. She looks like an eel.
She looks like an otter.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah. Friend of the show, Fergal Quigley.
Yeah.
Does a fantastic artwork after a lot of our episodes.
Before we get into Fergal Quigley.
Oh, yes.
There is a Weekly Planet comic book.
Yes, there is.
Which is on the Reddit, which I'll link below.
Great.
Which is really funny and really, I don't know, it's well timed. Both the way it's drawn and also the dialogue.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So thank you for that. It's awesome. I'll link it below, but I was genuinely surprised how much I enjoyed it. And you're in it. And I guess that must appeal to you on some level.
Yeah, no, it's good. My vanity specifically. Yes, absolutely.
Good.
You're correct.
Yeah, that's really... And also, people can have a hand in where they want it to go next.
Yeah, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure.
That's right. It's me versus the mayor.
That's right. Robert Doyle.
That's right. My arch nemesis.
Mm.
So yeah, no,
I hate his bloody guts.
Me too. I do too. Okay, Fergal Quigley.
Get out of here, you dog. Anyway, not this dog.
No,
Robert Doyle.
Not that otter.
Mayor of Melbourne, the dog.
Okay, Fergal Quigley says, "Who is the best worst paternal role model in comics?"
Oh,
it's Batman because he's killed so many kids.
He's so many Robins. Just They should have taken Damian Wayne away from him. I don't know if they have.
Well, didn't Damian Wayne grow up without him?
I guess that's true. Yeah. It might be for the best. No, we can think of a worse one.
Worse than Batman.
I mean, Reed Richards keeps throwing his children into dangerous situations, but he
sucks.
In what sense?
He's just a shit bloke. He's just got no perspective on anything, like from like a ground level.
Right.
He's all like, the greater good, I'm going to turn everything into a solar panel and ruin my head. Like, he's just got no humanity, that bloke.
But you're saying he's still a pretty good dad, though, is what you're saying?
No, he sucks.
Do you think he's worse than Batman, then?
He's killed less people. He's killed less kids than Batman.
Green Arrow was unaware that his sidekick was addicted to heroin.
That's true.
For quite some time.
That's a credit to his sidekick's heroin hiding skills.
Exactly. You know, when I think about it, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about Alfred as either best or worse? Because he encouraged... Yeah. Look, Batman or Bruce Wayne couldn't be stopped in his quest.
Yep.
And Alfred does make an effort to kind of be like, maybe you shouldn't do this.
I think he's a pretty good dad. He's a good father figure, I think.
But also when he knows he can't stop it, he's like, well, I'm going to support you 100%.
That's true.
And I'll stitch your bloody wounds up and do whatever.
Yeah. Plus I get to live in this sweet mansion.
That's true. And bring you your breakfast.
Yeah. There's got to be some worse dads. Let me think.
What about Uncle Ben in terms of best? Because of the example he sets by dying. I mean, he was a good bloke.
Yeah.
But his sacrifice,
yep,
which I'm sure he didn't intend to make, like echoes through Spider-Man's life for the better. That's why he's the superior Spider-Man.
Oh, Uncle Ben is.
You sure?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. What else we got? Who's some comic book dads? Invincible as a kid.
Howard Stark. Bad dad. Never around.
Yeah.
I mean, like, later...
Tells his son that he loves him in a video that he'll see when he's 45.
Yeah, like, later years, maybe a little bit better. But it seems to me just a lunatic, just never around, just building vests that blow up when you put them on. Just do whatever you want, son. Yeah, sure. You know what? One lesson I've learned, son, is just inherit my empire and keep making weapons that'll kill everyone. Bad dad. Worse than Batman.
What about Invincible's dad? Because he was sent to Earth to overtake it.
Oh.
And then nearly beat his son to death. But then he comes round.
Mm.
I would say he's just a regular dad because he has faults.
Yeah, he's kind of a regular dad.
Just on a bigger scale.
Who's a better dad, Pa Kent or Jor-El?
Pa Kent.
Bearing in mind, Jor-El's a hologram man now.
One's Russell Crowe, one's Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I know, right? How can you choose? It's like choosing between two dads.
That's right.
Both of whom are the greatest actor in the world.
Okay, Pa Kent gives Superman his humanity.
Correct.
Which I think is the most important foundation of Superman.
But Jor-El gives him crazy powerful Kryptonian DNA.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But not only that, but that's a given though. Like, if Zod could have been his father and given him that.
Mm.
But Pa Kent instills his values in him, and then with the DNA and with even the Kryptonian tech and history that he comes upon, he's able to use that through the lens of a human being with compassion.
Mm.
So I think that makes... Look, Jor-El is the cooler dad.
Yeah,
he's the dad with the Mustang.
Yeah.
But Pa Kent is like your down-to-earth...
That's true.
You're a, you know, be a good bloke, dad.
Galactus, great dad.
In what
way? To the Silver Surfer.
You
always know, you know what? You could be away for, you could be on the other side of the galaxy, you come back, he's always got a meal on the table for you.
That's
it's a planet. It's a planet.
Yeah, but...
Yes.
Well, I guess he gives you goals and boundaries.
Correct.
Which is important in parenting.
The power cosmic, he gives you that.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
A surfboard.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
That's right. That's something you want for your birthday.
That's right.
And it wasn't like he's a surfer and he's like, have this, son. And you're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to be like you, dad. Whatever. He gives him the bloody the power to surf all over the place.
Surf the stars.
Surf the stars.
Yeah.
Mephisto, father of Ghost Rider.
I'm father? Reaching.
No, not really.
Look, they're all good dads.
They're
in
all
a
good
way.
Dads, yeah.
Most of them are bad dads, though.
Correct.
Mm.
That's it.
I think that's all we got.
We got all,
good question, though.
Thank you, Fergal Kowigali.
I don't think I mentioned this, but if you want to send an email to the show, you can. And by that, I mean tweet. You just hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, and we'll get out there and we'll find it, won't we? We'll find some of them.
Yeah, man.
This is to you specifically.
Oh, I can't wait.
This is from Greg Carter, 78.
Hi, Greg.
Greg Carter.
What did I say?
Greg.
Hi, Greg Carter.
How many tweets did you get about Zelda through the same hook out at work, and three out of five people yelled at me?
Can you explain that before we... So last week, we were talking about a new Zelda game at E3.
Yeah.
And I tried to make... I tried to do the most obvious impression of someone who doesn't know that the main character of the Zelda games is Link.
Yes.
And I'm like, It's that green clad forest ranger Zelda.
There he goes.
There he goes. Brave warrior Zelda. And oftentimes people are like, no, Zelda's the girl. At least that I know. I'm aware. I got one tweet like two texts from you that were
oh, right,
that
I
were
did
YouTube
too.
Comments. That were so thanks for sending those to me. I appreciate it.
So not too many.
No, it's fine. The weekly whack-a-doodos are very switched on. They know a bad, terrible joke when they hear one. They're used to them now. It's Stockholm Syndrome. They're like, oh, he's doing his dumb thing again where he pretends not to know a thing or he doesn't know a thing. But he's doing so well, though, because he's talking.
That covers our bases, though, if we accidentally say a dumb thing.
We knew we were joking.
I think we've set it up rather well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The perfect crime.
This is from Donny Boy. This is also to you.
Ooh.
I'm listening... This is at Wikipedia Brown. I'm listening to a podcast that's not Weekly Planet Pod and still hearing how famous you are. How has this fame changed you? I don't know what that podcast is.
Me too, right?
How has fame changed you?
Not at all. Although I was driving the tram the other day and somebody said, grab that gem at me. And I'm like, thanks, man.
Could have been a coincidence.
It was probably a coincidence. I was spilling some gems at the time.
Oh, that might have been.
They were getting all over my console.
That flawed console. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it hasn't changed you, except for that one time a guy recognized you.
Yeah, and one time at a rock climbing.
Oh, yeah,
indoor
that's
rock climbing
right.
center. Yeah.
And the dude who came out from Shep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To be like, what's up? Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Mason, you haven't let it get to you yet. Stay humble.
I will not.
Take that crown off.
Stop looking at me in the eyes. You're not allowed to look at me in the eyes.
That's from Elijah.
Hi, Elijah.
At Phoenix Agent 003. Ben Affleck says he won't move forward with a Batman movie until he likes the script. That's good, right? # Weekly Planet Pod.
How good is Ben Affleck at picking scripts?
Pretty good. His efforts at filmmaking have been... He actually even admitted this week that he was kind of maybe offered Star Wars. And he was like, but I didn't do it.
Oh.
He admitted it because he'd clearly been drinking.
Right, uh-huh.
Nothing wrong with that.
Is Ben Affleck a nerd or not? Because he was friends with Kevin Smith growing up.
I don't think it was growing up. I think they met in the later years.
Okay.
Because he did Mallrats.
Right, uh-huh.
But he's kind of moved away from that. I think he's like one of those combo blokes. He can uh-huh. He has a foot in every world.
All-rounder.
Yeah.
Finger in every pie.
That's right.
I'm doing an act out.
Yes.
Poking some pies. Can't see it.
He also kind of implied that, yeah, he's had experiences with movies where the script hasn't been 100%.
Yeah.
And he's like, and you know how that turned out. And the people are like, does he mean Batman, Superman? Does he mean Jiggly? Does he mean Jersey Girl?
That was all right, wasn't it?
People hate that movie, but was it that bad? Will Smith's in it.
Well, I was going to say Will Smith's in it. They're gonna finally complete the Will Smith, Ben Affleck face-off in Suicide Squad.
That's
that
right.
I'm happy. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I don't think it's bad to wait till the script is good.
Correct.
It's having a good script behind a movie is never a bad thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Depending on who's directing.
I guess the question is also that, is he going kind of off his own nose and being like, is this script good to me? Or is he passing it along to like...
I think him and Geoff Johns are doing it.
Okay, well, then all right. Good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, or is he giving it to Kevin Smith?
I don't think they really...
And it's like, would you like to add some side characters to this, Kevin Smith?
I don't think they chat that much anymore.
Okay, right.
They've had different paths. One's making a movie about Nazi sausages and the other one's Batman.
That's true.
Everybody's got a different path in life.
I agree.
Mason, I've got a dilemma.
What's your dilemma, James?
Next week, Tarzan is out in the US and other parts of the world, but it's not out here.
Mm.
That being said, we can go to a screening on Monday night. So we,
what, tomorrow?
No, next Monday. Okay. So we can delay the podcast by maybe 6 to 10 hours.
Okay.
Go and see it, come back, record it. I'll edit it straight away.
Uh-huh.
I'll, you know, clean it up, whatever I do, and put it out. Or
yep.
Do you want to do like a Game of Thrones episode? Because last week, it's the last week of Game of Thrones is happening.
Oh, yeah.
That would mean you'd have to shotgun 10 episodes of Game of Thrones.
Boy, wouldn't I. Do you have them there?
I think I do, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I think the people are going to want a Game of Thrones episode.
Okay.
So we might have to do that.
That being said, if Tarzan's amazing...
If it's amazing.
Yeah. If we heard nothing but good things. And if you really want us to do a Tarzan episode.
Let us know.
We'll do it, man.
Yeah. Okay.
But maybe Game of Thrones, among other stuff.
I think overwhelmingly it's going to be a Game of Thrones episode.
Okay, but let us know. Maybe you love Tarzan.
Maybe you love Tarzan.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I have heard some things that it's pretty good.
Has anybody specifically said at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter, I just saw Tarzan and it's better than season 6 of Game of Thrones? Because if nobody said that.
I have not
said
that yet.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think Tarzan looks pretty good. I don't know whether it will be good.
Mm.
Who knows? I like the guy from Tarzan. Like, he looks like a good Tarzan, don't
yeah,
you
okay,
think?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Not convinced with the apes.
Sure.
Not convinced.
And if you're watching Tarzan, you're going to want good apes.
It's all about them apes.
It's all about the apes.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the show for this week.
All right, let us know about that thing.
Yeah. Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
Yeah.
Tweet me at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Oh, and me at Wikipedia Brown.
That's right. Where else can people find us? You can find us
on Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Twitter and Gmail and Bandcamp, where we have that Independence Day commentary up.
I think our next one will probably be that wine's kicking in. It'll either be Ghostbusters or Star Trek.
Yeah, okay.
I think maybe Ghostbusters is first. So you'd love to do a Ghostbusters commentary.
I'd love to do a Ghostbusters
commentary.
Or
would you just watch it though? Because that's one of your favorite movies.
Look, I'll make an effort to talk.
All right then.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You can follow The Weekly Planet on Twitter. That is our friend Robert Collings. He does a great job.
He's all over it.
He's our bloody Girl Friday. I don't know what that means. Patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You want to throw us a buck.
All the commentaries are there as well.
All the commentaries are there. Or one of the easiest things to do, we have an Amazon affiliate link that is in our episode description.
Yep.
And if you're going to buy something from Amazon anyway, which everybody bloody buys stuff from Amazon,
Nobody doesn't.
That's true. Just click on the link. You go to the regular Amazon. You pay the same regular low Amazon prices and we get a kickback of some sort. Who's to say?
Yeah, we get a percentage, but it doesn't cost the person anything.
Anything extra.
So
how's it work? Who knows?
I don't care,
quite frankly. Me neither, right? We got some t-shirts on Redbubble, thanks to Fergal Quigley and Golden Legend. So just go on Redbubble, search for those guys. Thanks to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our themes.
Yes.
We've forgotten something, but who knows what it
is. I just want to confirm the name of the guy who's doing the comic, because he's bloody all over it. Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to take down that Q&A thing this week. Remember we had that?
Oh, for UNICEF.
UNICEF. It's been up for ages. We're nearly at 40,000.
Gee willikers.
I don't even know the website. Everyday Hero, that was it. If you do want to get the Q&A, you can get it from there. Sorry, written by Ben M. Davis. Artwork by Eric Helmer. Very cool.
Yeah.
I love it. I bloody love it! And there's some nice bloody Easter eggs in there, mate. We are at $38,891.96.
Say that number again.
$38,891.96.
Good Lord. Well done, everybody.
Yes.
Bloody nailed that.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Yep. Did we forget anything? Almost certainly. Anyway, we'll do it next week. Grab that gem, everybody.
Grab it.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.